Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Fasten your seatbelts. The foremost authority on 9/11, the best-selling author of Methodical Illusion, and a researcher extraordinaire, Rebecca Roth is about to step up to the microphone and launch into Reality Check, where the light will shine brightly upon the truth.
Well, welcome to the Rebecca Roth Show. Now, just for those of you who are always listening and know that normally Ramjet would take this, Ramjet had step out. He had some kind of trouble in his car while he was going somewhere. And I think he's going to be able to come back and join us. So we'll get a full update when he can do that. So welcome to the Rebecca Roth Show. What we're going to talk about today is our title, Are You Still Being Played? And what does that mean? The question of the day, are you being played? And who's playing you? And so I want to point out to you some things. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about how you're being played. And we talked about that a little bit last week with guerrilla propaganda and how that worked. And, you know, it's really amazing that I had so many people email me after that show and had went out and were watching CNN or Fox News or MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, you name it. And they were all doing the same thing. We were talking about, in case you missed the show last week, it's up on YouTube, and it's about guerrilla propaganda. And how guerrilla propaganda works is they use a negative word with your name. And so in one of the things that they're really, really easy to spot right now is Donald Trump using in the same sentence Hitler and Nazis and violence with supporters of Donald Trump. Donald Trump supporters are Nazis. They're violent Nazis, actually. And Trump equals Hitler. And you're going to see this over and over, and even on your local nightly news, because they're all run by the same six families, you know. So the same exact thing over and over and over. And if you've been on YouTube and you've seen how Big Brother tells them to say the same thing over and over, it doesn't matter what the story is, they're all going to tell you the same story. One of the best ones on YouTube is where the actual news media from, these are from Milwaukee, Salt Lake City, Houston, you name it, all across the country, San Francisco, Seattle, Tacoma, all of these areas, and the new local news people are saying the same thing. There's one out there about the Easter Bunny, and they're all saying the same story. Well, the Easter Bunny does blah, blah, blah. So you're going to see that. But this Trump attack is called guerrilla propaganda. And this is what George W. Bush did to get us into the Iraq war after the false flag of 9/11. He used Iraq, Saddam Hussein. He called him Sodom. Saddam Hussein, 9/11, terror, and weapons of mass destruction, over and over in the same sentence. And then you saw every other congressman and senator and every other talking head on TV doing the same thing. So just wanted to point that out to you because it's so prevalent right now, because this is something that we have never, ever seen in the history. Now, I've been around 65 years, so I've got some history. We've never, ever seen the manipulation that we have seen, or maybe we're just getting smarter now after 9/11, 15, 16 years later, we're starting to wake up and smell the coffee. I don't know. But like I tell people, you know, when you wake up to the truth about 9/11, what happens is it's like a veil is lifted and your eyes have the scale lifted. You can start to see clearly. And this is what happened to me. And I know this is happening with a lot of people because I get lots of email from people that are in that transition where they knew all along, but they, I just got one last week from a gal who'd ordered all three books. And she knew in her heart and soul that 9/11 was a lie, but she didn't know what all took place. She just, you know, like a lot of people just didn't look back. They just went on with their lives and went through the TSA harassment and all of the other things that changed in our world after that. And so she wrote to me and she said, I'm just having such a hard time with this. And she had the next two books sitting there and she was just ready to dive in. But I suggest take a day off in between those three books and digest everything because there is so much information. Don't forget, I had a terabyte of Freedom of Information Act and 32 years of experience. So there's lots of information in those books and it's wrapped up tight and woven through all the characters and everything they say and everything they do. And so you're going to see there's a lot of stuff, and really it is. You got to sit down and take a little digest time between those three. I know someone said, I'm going to read those three books over a weekend. You're going to need psychiatric help. Talking about waking up. But yeah, it's just amazing. So that you start to see what's happening. So what we're going to talk about today is how the CIA is involved in the media and how they are manipulating you. And that guerrilla propaganda show we did last week is just, you know, one of the ways that you can see that. You can see that. And they're also not just doing the negative on Donald J. Trump, but they're doing the positive love fest for Hillary. Now, Hillary, she's that same gal who refused to help our guys and our ambassador, Chris Stevens, and the SEALs and guys that were there to help and protect him and rescue him. And she refused to help him. And we had security there. We had troops not that far away. We have military everywhere. And someone actually was given a stand down order on Benghazi. And she needs to pay for that and be held responsible. Instead, the media loves her. Someone just said to me the other day, Hillary Clinton could kill a puppy and a small child on TV and the talking heads would still adore her. Now think about that. Now who is in control here? And why are you? Why do they call this TV programming? Because you are being programmed. So are you back? Are you here?
I think back.
All right, Ramjet. Well, you had a little car trouble or something. I know you were something
I
was going
am
on
in Bellevue, Washington. Home of Dixie's Barbecue, where one of the funniest things I've ever seen occurred.
Do tell. Dixie Barbecue, huh? Well, tell me about that place first.
Well, Dixie's Barbecue was run by a guy by the name of what? Dixie was his wife, and he ran this barbecue, but actually it was a car repair shop for many, many years. His name was Gene, and Gene Porter ran this car shop, but he was also a master barbecue, and he made barbecue for his employees. And lo and behold, the police started showing up at lunchtime, and he'd give them barbecue, and firemen showed up. And before he knew it, he decided to open place as a barbecue stand. But he never changed the decor. It still looked like an auto repair shop. The barbecue was so good that you could stand outside in the summer for an hour, sometimes longer.
Just waiting to get in?
Just waiting to get in to get your brisket or your chicken or whatever it was. And Gene ran a pretty tight ship. And this is what happened that was so hilarious. I was standing in line one day and this SUV pulls up. And it was driven by Jeff Bezos. Now, you know who Jeff Bezos is, right?
He's the CEO of Amazon.
CEO of Amazon, owns the Washington Post. He is now the third richest man in the world. Now, back then, he wasn't third in the top 10, but he was a billionaire. And everybody in Seattle, Bellevue area knew who he was. And he pulls up in an SUV with a bunch of employees, and he can't find a place to park. So he lets the employees out, and they get in line. And he drives off, and about 10 minutes later, he comes walking back up the driveway and joins the line with his employees. Of course, the line has grown since he left.
You mean so he cut in?
He did. And Gene saw it. And as I mentioned, Gene runs a pretty tight ship. And he walked over to Bezos, grabbed him by the collar and said, "Hey, you cut in my line. Nobody cuts in my line." Grabbed him by the collar, hauled his butt back to the end of the line. And his employees were just standing around wondering, what do we do now? And sheepishly, one by one, they kind of wandered back to where Bezos was and got in line with him.
Oh, that's a good story.
It's pretty funny. And those of us in line who watched the whole thing happen.
Everyone, of course, in town knew who he was.
Yeah, we were laughing. Now, nowadays, you know, he'd probably come with a security detail and a limousine. But Gene Porter still would have grabbed his butt and sent him back the line with his security team. Because nobody cuts in Gene's line.
That is a great story. So you're in Bellevue, Washington. How's the weather there?
Not decent?
Not too bad? All right. For Seattle, that's good. If it's not raining and blowing and snowing and crazy, then it's a good thing. So, well, one of the things that we were going to talk about today is the CIA. And, you know, there is a William Casey, who was the CIA director, from a first staff meeting in 1981, who is quoted in saying, and you will find this, and I mean, honestly, right now at this point in my life, because I'm working on another book, I can't tell you if it's in Methodical Illusion or Deception, but there is a conversation about this. "We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false." Let that sink in for just a minute. This is the head of the CIA, the CIA director, William Casey, 1981. And we're talking 20 years before 9/11. "So we'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false." Now that's you and me. We're the American public. So there was something out there called the Operation Mockingbird, and it was a fully implemented CIA program, and it was meant to spread disinformation throughout the American media. CIA Director William Colby testified to the Church Committee that over 400 CIA agents were active in the U.S. media to control what was reported through American mainstream television, newspapers, and magazines. Now, Operation Mockingbird was a secret CIA agency campaign that was designed to influence domestic, foreign media beginning in the 1950s. We're talking now 65 years ago. So don't you think it was in effect on 9/11? You betcha it was. Don't you think it's in effect right now? Don't you think it is the CIA and the cabal and the handlers thereof that really cannot control Donald Trump? And so he's a huge threat to them. So when you see this guerrilla media going on where Trump is Hitler and you, if you support him, are a Nazi, and all of, you're a violent Nazi, by the way, all of that stuff wrapped into the same sentence over and over and over and over and over again, it's going to remind you that how we saw that airplane make the impossible flight through a building like a hot knife through butter over and over and over and over again. And I remember at the time saying, why do they keep showing that? And at the same time, my flight attendant mind was saying, that's impossible. Well, what they were doing was programming your mind to make the impossible be possible for you and me. And so that's what happens. And there is a brainwashing technique that is using that kind of repetition. So if you constantly tell a story over and over and over again, it becomes people's truth. And so I want to bring this to your attention, because this, at this point in time, here's what I have done. I watched on television the conventions, and I turned the TV off, and I absolutely will not allow them in my head. I don't even care what they're saying. I used to go on if there was an airplane crash or something might be interesting and turn on CNN or Fox. I absolutely will not turn either one of them on. Even watching the NFL Hall of Fame, it was one of the owners, I believe, that got put in, made a cutting remark, and the commentators, just a little slice on Donald Trump. And I'm over it. And if the NFL does that during their games, I won't watch any football either. And that's one of my favorite brain dead things to do is to watch NFL football. That's one of the things I like to do for just killing time and kicking back and relaxing. Because sometimes some of the research I do is just, well, you're going to find this out. If when you read the methodical conclusion, or like some people are reading the whole series, you're going to understand what I know. And I guess what? I still have more information that's not in those three books. And it's mind-blowing. I say that term because that's what all I can think of. I mean, there were times where I was really at a loss to even speak about what was coming out for the methodical conclusion. So I just want you to understand that that there is so much propaganda going on that it is truly amazing.
Do you want to play that clip?
I would like to play this. We have a little 3-minute clip we're going to play. And I believe this is from the church. This is Senator Frank Church as they were getting involved with and trying to get to the answer of, is the CIA paying the media? So here it comes.
I thought that it was a matter of real concern that planted stories intended to serve a national purpose abroad came home and were circulated here and believed here, because this would mean that the CIA could manipulate the news in the United States by channeling it through some foreign country. Now, we're looking at that very carefully.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to a major circulation American journal?
We do have people who submit pieces to two American journals.
Do you have any people paid by the CIA who are working for television networks?
This, I think, gets into the kind of getting into the details, Mr. Chairman, that I'd like to get into in executive session.
At CBS, we had been contacted by the CIA. As a matter of fact, by the time I became the head of the whole news and public affairs operation in 1954, relationships had been established, and I was told about them and asked if I'd carry on with them.
We have quite a lot of detailed information, and we will evaluate it, and we will include any evidence of wrongdoing or any evidence of impropriety in our final report and make recommendations.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to the national news services, AP and UPI?
Well, again, I think we're getting into the kind of detail, Mr. Chairman, that I'd prefer to handle in executive session.
Senator, do you think that you named the news organizations in your final report?
That remains to be decided.
I think it was entirely in order for our correspondents at that time to make use of CIA agent chiefs of station and other members of the executive staff of CIA as sources of information which were useful in their assessments of world conditions.
Would you say that continues today?
Well, I would think probably for a reporter it would continue today, but because of all of the revelations of the period of the 1970s, it seems to me that a reporter's got to be much more circumspect in doing it now, or he runs the risk of at least being looked at with considerable disfavor by the public. I think you've got to be much more careful about it.
Oh, All right. Well, I guess that guy just didn't want to give the answer, did he? We'll take that to an executive session. Okay. All right. In other words, no, I'm not going to give you the answer. That is from, I believe it was in the late 50s or 60s.
No, the Church Commission was, in the late 70s.
70s? Yeah. Okay. This started.
But there was Walter Cronkite earlier that when he said that he had taken over the news.
Right. Yeah.
Bureau, CBS, clear back in the 50s, and that the CIA was involved.
Yeah, well, Operation Mockingbird began in the 1950s, and that was the CIA's control of the media. And so, you know, you can see what's happened now. This was what we're hearing is them trying to get the answers in the 70s, which now is 30 years or so before 9/11 happened. And so to give you just a little perspective, we're now like 45 years later, and they've been doing this for 60 plus years. The CIA has controlled the media. So are you being played? Turn that damn thing off. Just turn it off. I mean, I got to a point where I was turning it on just to see how they were trying to brainwash people. But listen, as far as this goes, what's happening is now you are being completely mind manipulated by your television set, and not just the news. You're getting, they even infiltrated the NFL Hall of Fame inductees with someone who had to make a comment, a nasty little dig, about Trump. And so all you have to do is go, if you have an opportunity, look at the crowd size, or if you're on Facebook, go over to Hillary Clinton's official Facebook page, see how many friends in common you have with her, because they're going to line right up. They're going to say, I have two, and I know both of them. I know they're not supporters of her. And so I have two. And so my friend, and you are following Hillary Clinton, you've been busted. Okay. And now go look and see how many of your friends are following on Donald J. Trump on Facebook and see what happens. Take a look at the real crowd size and see that the media, CIA, is coordinating the camera angle to make a crowd of 30 look like a crowd of 200 of Hillary's. But then you've got Trump with these arenas holding 10, 12, 14, 20,000 people, and they're still lined up around the block outside where he actually plays his speech out there too. So if you can't get in, usually you can hear it or sometimes watch it too. So what's happening? Our reality is that Donald Trump is way out ahead of Hillary Clinton, but the media, CIA, is telling you that if you support him, you're a Nazi. He's Hitler. And you're violent, and you're a violent Nazi. Just listen to what we talked about last week in this manipulation. You are being played and manipulated by the media worse than ever before, but you now know that this has been going on since the 1950s. Now, if you were involved as a patriot in something that was called the TEA, the Taxed Enough Already Party, the Tea Party, you will remember that you too were labeled. And you were called a racist, weren't you? And you were called an anti-Semite, weren't you? And you were called a violent, weren't you? But you knew the truth wasn't that, because every time you went to a TEA party rally of some sort, you saw something totally different. You saw people that love America, that are patriotic, flag-waving, veterans and people that care about this country and that adore and love the national pride that is Americans. Okay. And that's what the big cabal wants to destroy. That's what the CIA is out to destroy. And that's one of the things 9/11 was out to destroy. It was just another brick in the wall, just another chip away at your Constitution and Bill of Rights. So now you're looking back with your hindsight, you can see that, can't you? Because before that, you didn't have the CIA or the TSA, had the CIA, of course. You didn't have the TSA going through making you take your shoes off to get on an airplane or not being able to bring a bottle of water or Coke or something with you or your sandwich or something, or even your medicines. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I saw them TSA and I think it was Memphis, actually, attack and take down a cancer patient because she set off their machine. It's really out of control. But that's what 9/11 started doing. So when people say to you, well, why do you even care about 9/11? 9/11 is your future. You just have to look back. Now, we have a whole generation of kids that were, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old during 9/11. So they don't even remember what it was like to fly. They don't even remember what it was like to not have the government treating you like the Nazis treated the Jews, right? If we go back to that era in history. And here again, look and see what is the nationality of those people who run and control and religion of the major media. Okay. Remember, I told this story a long time ago. Watch these labels, you guys. Watch these labels. The trolls like to label me an anti-Semite because what did I find? For book number two, Methodical Deception, I found Israeli. Yeah, Israelis here. Mossad. Yeah, yeah, I did. Some of them were living in the towers. Some of them were bomb experts, ordnance experts, demolition experts living right there in the tower. Imagine that. And because I pointed that out, I had people calling me this label, anti-Semite. And so one of the things that happened to me when I first, as a flight attendant, retired, now I'd been retired for about 5 years, when I discovered the hijackers were still alive and I started into my 9/11 research. And I remember I was watching, I think it was Hannity's show on Fox one day, and I was, you know, preparing stuff and in the kitchen just listening to the show, and somebody was on as a guest and they questioned something about 9/11. I don't even remember what, but they were labeled right then and there as an anti-Semite. Now, at that time, I hadn't discovered the Sayeret Matkal anti-hijacking Jack Bauer of Israel 9B on Flight 11. I didn't even know he was there. I didn't even know a thing about him. I didn't know any of that. And I thought, why in the heck would somebody be labeled an anti-Semite for questioning how Building 7 fell down? I was like, that just didn't make any sense. But I put it, you know, where I put stuff, right? In the back of my mind, to pull it out later to see why did somebody get called an anti-Semite for questioning 9/11. So, you know, okay, well, I figured it out why, okay? So you have to take a look at everything that's going on now with the politics. Okay, so we know that the CIA is completely controlling the television. Got to ask yourself this question. Why do they love Hillary so much? What have they been up to for the last, oh, let's see, how about since 1950? Can we think of things like the Gulf of Tonkin? Oh, we can think of John F. Kennedy's assassination too, can't we? And we can think of 9/11, and we can think of the Bay of Pigs, and we can think of Operation Northwoods that almost got taken, but Kennedy put a stop to it, right? We can think, pardon me?
The Liberty.
Oh, yes. And the USS Liberty. Now, if you don't know about that, I want you to Google search it right now while you're listening, because you need to know about the USS Liberty. My second book was dedicated to the USS Liberty crew, some of which are still surviving and I've become friends with. Why was the USS Liberty not ever reported truthfully to the American people? Better figure out that. Because we're talking about the same group of people here. We're talking about the same controlled media. Now, so you got to look at the media. It's owned by 6 large corporations. And now, are they owned by Christians? Nope. Are they owned by Muslims? Nope. Are they owned by Buddhists? Nope. Are they owned by Hindus? No. So why do you suppose those 6 or so companies, corporate companies, all owned by the same group of people, are now calling you, if you love America and want to see jobs return and to see her great again and love this country, why are they calling you a Nazi? Let me just ask you that one more time, because this is really important for you to think about. We have a situation here where the media is calling you, if you love this country, if you fought for this flag, or maybe you were on the USS Liberty, like some of my friends were, If you want to see jobs return and manufacturing return, and you want to see America great again, why is it that you are now by the media being called a violent Nazi? What do you suppose their agenda is? It's called the New World Order. Okay. Now, I tried to put this out there in a little dose at a time and methodical illusion, because I know a lot of people don't understand it. And I know that a lot of people also remember hearing George H.W. Bush telling us in 1991 this lovely speech about 1,000 points of light and the New World Order. And coming from that old grandpa didn't sound so bad, did it? But when you take a look at who really started the CIA, and I have, if you follow me on Facebook, if I can remember, I'll put a link to this PDF in the description of this YouTube. If not, email me, let me send it to you. There is a PDF out called, it's like the Monarch, the new Operation Phoenix. There's another operation by the CIA you can look up. And this is all kind of new stuff. But what I liked about this PDF was it's all stuff I'd found going in the back door through 9/11. And so one of the things that it lays out there, so for those of you who are interested in 9/11, there's some of the high-tech weaponry that we don't have knowledge of. We're just not privileged to know that, okay? So these things are top secret. Now, I'm dealing with some guys that were in R&D and DARPA and in the military, and they I know they've eked out stuff to me that they're like, I probably shouldn't have told you that because it's probably still top secret, but it's out now. Okay. So that happens. And they're not supposed to say anything about some of this stuff, but you're going to find a lot of information. But the most important thing is there was an operation called Operation Paperclip. And after World War II, who we were led to believe, if you just read your history books, that these people that were working for Hitler, these Nazis, Dr. Mengele and those type of people, they were all given a passage to the United States, Operation Paperclip. But guess what they were? They were Jewish. They just happened to be doctors that started working with Hitler's regime. So they came over here and they started the OSS, which became the CIA. So guess what? Take a hard look at this. We have people like Dr. Mengele and his cohorts that were working with Adolf Hitler that are now running the CIA. And they have since World War II. And then they are hating on Donald Trump. Hello? Hello? Is anybody home? I mean, come on now, people. Think about this. This is pretty crazy. So one of the things we saw that the media did, let me bring it back home to you here, is that we on 9/11 saw an aluminum aircraft slice through a steel, cement, and glass skyscraper over and over and over and over. Because it was impossible, they were brainwashing us to make the impossible reality in our minds, right? So until the illusion and the deception becomes your reality, they're going to tell you this over and over and over and over and over again. And that's how part of this brainwashing technique works. Also, remember George W. Bush, he said, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. Now, for those of you who have read my books, you know what that means. Now, especially from methodical conclusion, you know who the terrorists were and are. And so when he says that, and I just recently saw a YouTube of him saying that again, I was like, oh, I was perplexed. I was like, I mean, I remember hearing it. And I remember thinking it was like a Super Bowl game. And it was like a Super Bowl game, NFL, there we are. And it was like I had to pick my colors, my flag, my red, white, and blue. You bet, or I'd be a terrorist. So they've given the terrorists a flag now. Nice of the CIA to do that, right? But you got to ask yourself this. Okay, like on 9/11, all those gigantic flags came out, and flags were everywhere. Flags are not that easy to find, especially those big custom ones. But nobody knows who ordered those in advance, right? But who's making the black and white flags for ISIS? Are they made in China? Who's doing it? I mean, there has to be a flag company that's got this going, right? Because they do not take a picture without that black and white flag. And so it's part of that brainwashing. And so you start to see this kind of stuff over and over and over. You're like, oh, my God. So you're being played. When I say you're being played, you're being brainwashed. But I want you to understand who's doing this. And you need to understand the agenda. The New World Order is global government and global communism. For those of you who are old enough to remember what communism was all about, it's global tyranny. For those of you who like that word, very much the same. It's global control. It is biblical. For those of you who like to read the good book, it is called the one world government, where there will be one monetary system, one government, and eventually one religion. Okay, so this is not some made up thing out of my novel. This is real. I just wanted to introduce people to that and so that they really can understand and get your Google on and start looking to see. Another thing that happened on 9/11 is they convinced us that the most protected building in the entire world, it had layers, including Patriot missiles as a layer, layers of security, that none of it worked that day. It was all worthless, and that they were allowed to fly a plane, or we know now it was a cruise missile, because we know that Flight 77 really went to an Air Force base in Massachusetts, because we have eyewitnesses now. So how could that happen, right? Well, they led you to believe that our military was such a screw-up, a cluster, you know what, that they couldn't scramble jets in time. Now, Flight 77, by the way, was up in the air for nearly an hour and 20 minutes. 30 minutes into that flight, they were pretty sure it was hijacked. So where were our military jets that were scrambled? Well, here's a wake-up call for you. I have radar. They were already in the air, but guess what they did? Nothing. And so we were led to believe and told over and over the military dropped the ball. They just failed. Well, aren't you glad that those weren't nuclear warheads coming in? Because those are the same people, NORAD, who are supposed to be scrambling jets to protect us from the nuclear attack as well. So one of the things I really tried to do with the books is to introduce you to some of this stuff, because the black side of this is so dark that it at times really, truly, in the research part, I had to put down my computer and walk away or go watch a football game or go watch kitties and puppies and just kind of bail away from it. But when you start to see the media is showing you the impossible, here's one for you. It's impossible to get into a Donald Trump arena filled with people to listen, but you can get into Hillary Clinton. But if you look at the media, they'll tell you just the opposite. Nobody goes to Trump. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I've already tried to get in. And so I went to the airport and watched his beautiful 757 land instead. So I got some incredible pictures. And it was probably one of the most thrilling things. Now, I've been to a lot of air shows because I'm an airplane person. So but there's hardly anything more thrilling to see the Air Trump come in. And I knew that I couldn't get in because I had already been to where he was going to speak. And the line was about 18 miles down the road. And the auditorium was already oversold. So one of the things that I find between currently and looking back at 9/11, you remember the story of Malaysian MH370. Here's another thing they did, and this is kind of interesting because I really watched this, and I watched it mostly on CNN. They were convincing you that an airplane, a 777, I believe it was, could just disappear, and you would never ever find it again. But that's impossible because you see the engines ping to the engine manufacturing company. And they're connected to what's called the ACARS system. The aircraft is connected to the ACARS system. And that's why people know that we're working operations that in American Airlines and United, that the aircraft itself had not crashed because the ACARS unit, it's like a text message system on an airplane. It's a computer system. Was pinging back a location. But some of the people that are involved with the company that is the people who make eight cars were also very involved in the rest of the military industrial complex too. So now it's really hard to find out where they were really pinging from, because I know the guy from United can't talk about it. American, I don't know if they can either, but they know the truth. One of the things I'm finding is that a lot of people knew a lot of the truth. They just didn't have all the pieces of the puzzle together. But reading the three books, Methodical Illusion, Deception, and Conclusion, sort of lays it out there. And then people actually are still coming forward with, oh, I just read the second book, and here's some more. Here's some more information. So what they're showing you on television over and over and over again, I will never, ever, ever forget Don Lemon from CNN saying that MH370 flew into a black hole. It just disappeared. That was after about 30 days of 24/7 stuff. So, but what I want you to understand, since I studied plane crashes for 32 years, what happens, because there's another conspiracy nut on 9/11 that claims that the planes, that people were all put on a 767, one of the aircraft, and they were flown out over the Atlantic, and one of our military fighters shot them down. Well, that is so bogus, I'm going to shoot that crazy conspiracy down right now. One of the things you have to understand is, ladies and gentlemen, your seat bottom cushion is a flotation device. They float.
So is your seat bottom.
And so you're going to see things on the airplane that are going to come up to the surface. And you, if you'll remember Air Asia, when an Airbus kind of crashed down into the ocean, we saw that. And we recently saw that with the Egypt Air 804 that had an onboard fire. And we saw purses, ladies' purses. There's not only is your seat bottom cushion a flotation device, but a lot of the insulation and a lot of things like cargo pods that are closed up, they have air in them, and they're full of luggage that have air in them. All that stuff will float to the surface. And so will the bodies, a lot of the bodies. So you'll see that that whole thing is just total nonsense. And they remember they were looking for MH370 way south of Perth, I think it was. They launched out of, but didn't have enough fuel to get anywhere near there. It had enough fuel to get to Diego Garcia, but they didn't look there, even though they had eyewitnesses from the Maldives that saw the plane coming in, and they could see it because it was close enough to the ground. So when you start to see stuff that it's impossible, you have to really go back, slap yourself across the face, and say, who's running the media? It's the CIA. They have this agenda, and they're pushing this agenda. So I want you to believe all this stuff. So what you need to do is turn the damn thing off.
Wait.
Forget it.
Are you telling me that Don Lemon wasn't hired at CNN for his intellect?
I'm going to have to say yes. But I also find it hard to believe that he could have been a CIA asset. Although CNN does have that Bob Bauer, I think is his name. And they admit that he was CIA. But one of the things that I was reading earlier, and you can probably won't have time to read all this to you, but one of the things I was reading earlier was a Carl Bernstein, I think. Wasn't he the All the President's Men guy? Carl Bernstein, after leaving the Washington Post in 1977, he spent 6 months looking into the relationship between the CIA and the press during the Cold War years. He has written a 25,000-word cover story that was later on published in the Rolling Stone. And you can probably just Google search Carl Bernstein and find this, and or off his Wikipedia. It was in the Rolling Stone in 1977. And it's, you know, again, it's pretty darn powerful that you see. And you got to look, you got to open your eyes and look and see who's running the CIA and who is their spouse. And who's the deputy of this? And look at his spouse. And you got to look at the agenda they're pushing, because it's really important. So this guy goes on and he talks all about how the CIA would get together and gather up foreign correspondents from the United States. Let's say they go off to Vienna, or they go to someplace, and they would go up to them. Because press people get press passes and they get to go places that you and I maybe can't go to. Now, in my airline career, I had some of that privilege that we could go places because we had a security clearance. We all often would fly the teams that would go for a president. Let's say they're going to China and there are these front runners before the president's going to come into a country. They bring quite a team that they map out his routing from the airport and where he would go from where he was staying to where he was speaking and put guys up on the roof. I had some incredible conversations with some of these Secret Service and CIA intelligence people that were going, and they would go weeks in advance of a foreign trip. They're very interesting. But while they were there, so they would, this article talks about how these journalists, let's say they're a foreign reporter for, let's just say CNN. So we're picking on them a little bit. And they're a foreign correspondent for CNN and they're in Vienna. Well, they can't go to, let's just say Iran. So the CIA will say, hey, well, I'll give you a special deal. We'll make up a deal where we need a story done. And then they would send them to this country where they couldn't normally get to and have this experience. And then they start courting them. And so Bernstein writes this whole thing about how the CIA brought in all of these journalists. And remember what I read to you earlier about Operation Mockingbird.
Well, one of the things that I found interesting about Bernstein's article was that they used the U.S. correspondents that were serving in foreign countries to recruit locals and local people who really do the, you know, the cloak and dagger kind of stuff. You know, it's not the, you know, our journalists that are, you know, ferreting out the secrets. They're getting the secrets from the local people. But how do you get the those local people on our side? And they use the journalists
to recruit
them. And amazing stories that he tells in this as to how they would go about doing it. And it was just insidious.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was very interesting too. It's very, it's very true. So here you are, you've got this box in your living room, maybe in your bedroom. Sometimes people have three or four of these boxes around their house. The new TVs, by the way, spy on you. And so does the cable box. Some of them even have cameras in them, but they're monitoring your interests and are they keeping you, in the bread and circus? Are they keeping you entertained with football and nonsensical honey boo boo stuff? Or are you a person that pays attention and do you listen? I mean, I use our television at my house for music. That's about it. And some occasional football. But I'm going to pull the plug on the NFL if they continue to allow those correspondents to bash on Trump. I absolutely am going to put my foot down. I'm not going to allow it. And it's just like I will not allow CNN. And the best way you can get control is to turn your television off because you are being played and programmed by them. And if you don't believe me, go in on your Wikipedia, go in on your computer and start Google searching Operation Mockingbird, Operation Northwoods, Operation Paperclip. Operation Home Run. Operation Home Run was the remote control that the CIA was involved in. And I have a friend who was an air traffic controller who was told by a CIA DARPA person, you don't ever have to worry about a hijacking now. And this was 2 decades before 9/11. You don't ever have to worry about a hijacking now because there we go. Now, I remember I always asked, who's we? Because we have this new remote control device that we can take control of the airplane. So, of course, I had to ask the air traffic controller, well, what did you think 20 years later or 15 years later when you saw 9/11 unfolding? Because where were we who can control the plane then? So, well, that's because the planes were under control by that. But anyway, that was called Operation Home Run. And then the remote control aircraft have been available since the early 1970s. By the mid 80s, they had over 100, maybe close to 180 different types of airplanes that they were using remotely and flying remotely. And a lot of the, what was it? It was the Phantom, the F-4 Phantom jet. Now, that was a popular fighter jet in Vietnam. But after they came out with the plane that replaced them, they would paint the wingtips. And for those of you who have read Methodical Conclusion about the Mojave Air and Spaceport, this is true. You can read this on their website as well. They would paint the wingtips, and I think part of the tail, orange, and that would designate that they were drones. They were being flown without a pilot. Let that sink in for a second, because we are all, I know you're listening because you're thinking about 9/11, but that's what you need to do. You need to let it sink in, because they had that technology. Someone asked me the other day again, what do I think hit the tower, since we know the planes were taken somewhere else? I have on one of my computers, a United States Army PDF. It's a booklet from I believe it's from 1985, about hologram technology that was so good that you could film it. They could project a hologram so good that you could use a camera and take pictures of it. As a matter of fact, there is a shopping mall. There's a YouTube of this, and I believe it's in Dubai, because you're going to see it, and it's on film, and you're going to watch whales and wild animals come right out of the floor in front of these people. So that is hologram technology that's being filmed right there in front of your face on YouTube. And don't forget that the military has weapons and technologies that we don't even know exists for upwards of 50 years or more, depending upon how much control they need to have over us. But this PDF that I posted out on my Facebook group, and I posted it on my personal wall as well, it talks about the frequency weapons, and it talks about how they were used in 2003 in Iraq on a busload of people. And the doctors couldn't understand what had happened to these people, much like we are sitting here now, although I'm working with an architect now. And my next book is going to talk about the buildings and what happened and how everything had to have been put in place and how much of stuff and everything, all kinds of stuff. But what we have is this technology that we don't know exists. The doctors couldn't explain. When they were asked, what do you think did this? They said, I have no explanation to what type of weapon this could have been. Now, that's very much like when we start talking about the towers. Now, here's the thing that I've noticed about the 9/11 so-called truth movement and people that are in it and people that like to convince you they know more than anyone else about the towers and how they fell down and all of that jazz. Unfortunately, and there's just so much ego involved that they can't dissect the fact that for this fact, because I have this fact in my FOIA data, nanothermite, which was only available to the United States government military, and thermite, which is like your regular standard demolition explosives, were both in fact, get that through your head. In fact, found in the dust. So they were there. So when you send somebody in that's got this thing in her mind that the hurricane that wasn't even close to New York was harnessed for its energy, and this space age weapon that she can't show you a drawing of or give you any other scientific data, only gobbledygook, and goes apoplectic when the fact is that there was indeed nanothermite, which was only available to the government and military out of Lawrence Livermore, I believe. And it may have been available through the Savannah River, but neither here nor there. But what happens when you get people like that, then they want to argue with you. Well, you can't argue with a fact that's a scientific fact that nanothermite and thermite are, in fact, in the dust. But what somebody does that is they're trying to distract you away from the rest of the reality. And 9/11, the bowel movement that 9/11 truth movement became, is full of that. Now, I am working with people that have been involved with research and development. And there are, in fact, energy weapons that you don't know about and I don't know about, that the guy in Iraq that saw that saw it used on a busload of people couldn't explain either. And we probably in our lifetime won't know, unless you're listening to this and you're in your early 20s. you probably won't even know what this, what they used, all of what they used. But I can guarantee you that more than two methodologies were used to take those buildings were huge. And they were steel, and they were glass, and they were cement, and they were full of computers and office equipment and huge batteries in the floor and all kinds of stuff. That was never found. It was all just turned to dust. But the paper didn't burn. Remember seeing all the paper on the ground? The people were schlepping through all those sheets of paper. You never saw any paper that was burning. It was all just white sheets of paper from the offices. And that should tell you something. That should tell you that this was an abnormal explosion, an abnormal fire, an abnormal scene. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I know exactly how it was done. But as I uncover stuff, I don't have an ego involved in this. I just want to get to the truth because I could have been there. I could have easily been on one of those planes. And that is the driving force for me. I'm not, I've had conversations with people who lost family members in the towers, that were working in the towers or just entering the towers, or that were on the planes, that crew members, families, and those people truly are dead. I know there's this conspiracy nut out there saying nobody died. They were all dummies. Well, the real dummy would be the person throwing the dummies out of the building because they didn't get out. So I don't think that was the case. But I mean, what happens, though, is you get people that are out there and they divide the group. So everybody's fighting. I'm not involved with that. I just can't get involved with the division. I did see it from the very first time I started looking at 9/11. And when I saw people that were out writing things like the flight attendants were kidnapped, the reason I wrote the first half of 9/11 or of Methodical Illusion was to show you what a flight attendant did when she went to work. And what we do, we go into the secure side of security of the airport 99.9% of the time. We have to cross through security to go there. So we're over there. So nobody's going to be on the secure side of security with a gun to hijack or to kidnap the flight attendants, which somebody actually came up and claimed. And that their voices were then voice morphed. Yes, voice morphed. Yes, you can make people's voices sound like they're saying anything. And you can mimic them. The technology's been there. Yes, indeed it has. But they can use that on me or on you or anyone else to this day. I mean, it's not that hard to do voice technology. But how do you explain people that I'm talking to who were co-workers with these people who are now dead, boyfriends, girlfriends, sons and daughters? They were really there and they were really killed. Now, for those of you who have read Methodical Conclusion, we did find there was CIA involvement with the crew. So when I say the crew, I'm talking just about the people that quite possibly were not in on it. And that was a real hard nut for me to crack, a real hard bite to swallow, so to speak, because I knew so many flight attendants over my 32-year career. I just never, ever, ever, ever dreamed that anyone could be talked into this. But as you can see, most of our journalists, and these are journalists for newspapers, magazines, and television, and even the alternative media. If you wonder how does so-and-so stay on the air and have all this money to do what he does, well, you have to look at his family and his involvement and CIA involvement. And you just have to look there because that's who runs it. If they want to shut you up, they can do that. And you've seen that over and over and over again. So, you know, you're only going to be allowed to be on the mainstream alternative. These are the alternative big channels I'm talking now that have huge audiences and people that are telling you partial truth, but maybe are afraid to invite Rebecca Roth on board to discuss. So, there you go. There's my little dit on the alternative media as well. So pay attention. Don't be played. Wake up. Wake up to what is going on and who's controlling all of this. Because That's what this whole thing is all about right now. And if you don't see this, you just need to slap yourself awake. I just don't know. Read the books over again. Because you have to understand this is part of the New World Order agenda. It's not a pretty picture. You do not want this for your children or your grandchildren. Let me just say that. You just do not want this to be their future. So wake up and wake up your neighbors. Share the books with them so they understand the New World Order isn't a picture. It's happening every single step of the way, every day, we're closer and closer to hell. So on that, I'm going to say thank you for joining us.